Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Well, good. Guess what we're going to talk about today? You know, let's bring up some subject that we just haven't talked about for at least 24 hours, and that is the Federal Reserve, because we see it as the principal source of financing and distorting economic policies and causing so much havoc. And there are other things in society do that combine with it and make things worse. And of course, we're talking about current conditions when we talk about coronavirus and the exaggerations there. But what about the calamity of the stock market crash and the downturn, the recession that's going on? You know, that ought to prove the point that those people who incessantly, throughout my lifetime, any time since I was able to concentrate on this, I've heard the same statement as the bubble was being blown up. This time it's different, and it's been said all the way back to the Depression times. I don't remember that part, but they, even with the 20s, it was different that time. But that usually meant they were just going to extend the bubble, extend the easy credit, and all the distortion, the excessive spending, and all the things that they want to do, and they have to justify it, but it's going to be different. And we heard it this time. And the people who were the cheerleaders, and there were many, you heard them on TV all the time, and if you didn't agree with them, you were in big trouble. You weren't going along with the herd mentality. So, yes, they said it would be different, but it wasn't different. It was the same old thing. There was another financial bubble. Many of us talked about it. It was bigger than ever, and when the correction came, it would be bigger than ever and worse conditions. So that finally came, but I think it was convenient, and it was conveniently exaggerated that, well, we can't let those guys over at the Ron Paul Liberty Report, you know, let the story out and find out that it was really all the Fed's fault. So they had to find something else to blame, something beyond their control. And guess what? There was the coronavirus, which was a serious thing, and people could easily be persuaded. But we all have heard that men think in herds, and they lose their minds in herds, and panic occurred, and it's continuing. So I think that we're going to have to put up with this for a while longer. But one thing is, it wasn't the same. It's distant, and this recovery is different than ever before, because I think that there will be no easy recovery. There will be no return to normalcy, but there was no real return to normalcy after the greatest recession we ever had in 08 and 09. We really never got back to anything other than spending. But boy, I'll tell you, they tried to. They talked about shrinking the balance sheet and going back to a normal type of financial policies. But guess what? The financial sheet didn't shrink very much. And that was the introduction to the fact that the overnight rate skyrocketed up to 10%. They couldn't get away with it. And guess what they're doing now, especially because of coronavirus and other things, the financial crisis, which they say is all due to the virus, which I don't believe. I believe it's due to the mistakes of the Fed and the mistakes of the Congress spending too much money and the deficit being, monetized. So they expected to do that, and it didn't work. And the balance sheet now is $5.5 trillion, and it means nothing to them. And they can commit, they can create, the Fed creates, the Congress spends trillions and trillions of dollars. There's nobody can even comprehend the amount of dollars. One thing for sure is they can create dollars, but they can't create wealth, and they can't restore health to the economy by just destroying the value of the currency. And right now, you know, the balance sheet is much greater. It's probably a third greater than it was, at the end of QEs, or the suspension of QEs, the pause of QEs. But they're back at it again, and the demand for spending is overwhelming, and it's going to continue. Now, Gordon Brown, you know, the former Prime Minister of England, I don't think his suggestion that what we need is world government to solve the problem, but there are some who provoke this, antagonizes and push it, and gets people into hysterical moods. That's what they believe in. There's not much movement in Washington or at the Fed, it'll never be at the Fed, where there's a clamor for freedom, free market, sound money. And, of course, that's what we stand for. So, Chris, what do you think's going to happen? What do you think we better do? Do you think we better get a program out there and see how many people we can get to join us?
I think so, Dr. Paul. We're trying every week, and I ask people who are new to our show, and we have thousands of new people, please go back to the old shows. While this bubble was forming, we were warning, you know, do not let the Fed escape blame for the market crash. And that's exactly what happened. The Fed escaped blame. But what's done is done. What comes next is rising consumer prices because of all the inflation, the biggest amount they've ever created, that is going to be reflected in prices. We should keep the eye on the Fed because there's going to be every other excuse besides them to blame. And, you know, we're seeing it's almost like a script when I turn on the television that the Fed is not going to run out of ammunition. They're not going to run out of bullets. You know, it's everybody's saying it. Well, you know, that's the problem, that they think that they can print money forever because they create distortions by doing so. They create the malinvestments, the bubbles. They're driving down the purchasing power of the dollar. Can you believe that they believe that they can do this forever? That is a very dangerous mentality, and it's not true. Supply and demand, economic law wins in the end. If they could create money forever, we might as well just pack up our bags and forget it and not even worry about it. But it's not true at all.
You know, one thing the economic planners, I believe, agree with us, that there is a limit and the debt will be liquidated. And that's exactly what they pretended to be doing and wanted to happen in an orderly fashion. They only wanted to steal the value of our dollar at 2% per year, which has to be an insane policy. And even they who are watching it and wanted license to even expand money supply even faster, you know, the prices they were watching or pretending to be important, like the CPI, they wanted to go up at 2%. And I think that they know what they're doing now will help the government and will help others because it's deflating the debt. So if they double the money supply and these prices that you talk about, and I agree with that, prices are going to go up, that means the real debt is going down. But I'll tell you what, it's gross distortion. It ruins the policies. It ruins the whole principle of interest rates playing a significant role in the economy. But usually when the money flows out, the money comes back, people have to live. And I think it's already started. I think as soon as there is a pseudo recovery, prices are going to skyrocket. And what generally happens then, as it did in 1971, that I remember clearly, they put on wage and price controls. Not just price controls, wages too. And this is what to do is to contain the normal, acceptable, or the normal consequences and expected consequences of printing too much money. And that is prices get distorted, you have to control them, and they come in with price controls. And inevitably, what that does, it causes shortages. So you can imagine what's going to happen, that the only tool they're using is destroying the value of the dollar, price controls, and more manipulation to take care of all these problems, the crashing of the GDP right now. It's crashing. Unemployment's going to skyrocket, and what they're going to do is say, well, print more money. Print more money. That's all we need to do. They have this fiction that if you duplicate a monetary unit like the Federal Reserve note and you pass it out, that you're actually spreading out wealth. Well, there's a deception there because in the early stages of a total destruction of a currency, there's a tendency to believe that because the wealth does flow into certain people's hands. But that's the real evil of it all, because the people who end up with a higher price are the middle class, and that's when the problems begin, and the problems are overwhelming right now. And I think the biggest thing we have to worry about is the political consequences of this, because people are demanding, and there's a lot of vitriol out there. And I'll tell you what, they're not talking very much about a scarcity of freedom. They're talking about a scarcity of Federal Reserve notes, and right now, I don't know what the number is because nobody has a handle on that. if we could add up all the Federal Reserve notes and dollar equivalents in the last 6 months, what the Fed has been doing into the trillions, the Congress passing a bill, $2.2 trillion, I mean, many, many trillions of dollars. And if they think that they can pull this out and still maintain a value and an economy that is actually functioning in an orderly fashion, they have a daydream. So this problem is going to get worse, tragically so. And the real problem, of course, is the over-exaggeration of what the coronavirus is doing. And that is where you see the attack on civil liberties. People are just rolling over. I heard a story yesterday, though. I think it was in Texas that they wanted to have a church service, and they said, we're going to. And I think they had 1,000 people out. They're defying it. I think people will defy it. But then you're an American. You don't care. You want to spread this disease. And yet I'll be a believer that they're really concerned about people dying from a disease when they make a mere mention of how many people are dying from the influenza virus. I would like to see some TV station every day on a daily basis say, well, today we had 42 people die from the coronavirus, but we had 210 die from the influenza virus. I don't think they're going to do that because that is totally ignored. It's deception, and it's a goal to maintain and keep expanding the power of government because they don't have any answers, and they know there's going to be authoritarianism. And when you look at that $2.2 trillion, that finally, you know, when the Republican big spenders and Pelosi get together and say, oh, this looks like a pretty good thing. We're going to help the people. And they will pass out some money, but that's the part that they're going to get it kicked back in their face, because all that's going to do is raise prices, and the quicker they pass out the money, the more they're going to lose in price increases. So it's a no-win battle, but we have to keep doing what we're doing here, Chris, and trying to promote the ideas of free markets and sound money. This is unnecessary. It doesn't become by the nature of gods that this problem is that we have. It comes from the fact that we have inefficient, authoritarian, monopolistic governments that think that they can dictate and correct every problem that ever existed in the world, especially when they get in there and they're going to correct the problems of either foreign policy involvements, which they get involved in and have to correct, and economic problems, the spending problems. But it's coming to an end. There's going to be a climactic end to this, and we're approaching it quickly. So that is the reason that we have to get the message out, and hopefully people will respond. And when you talk to a lot of people on an individual basis, Chris, actually, there's still a lot of common sense out there, and they're getting sick and tired that they can't even take a walk by themselves without worrying about the policeman coming and being arrested. That's a serious problem.
Right, Dr. Paul. And you know what? The American spirit is alive, because not only is our traffic and subscribers and people interested in this going up, I saw the Mises Institute as well. They're having record traffic. People realize that something is wrong. And, you know, we're doing our best to give you the answers. But you have to think differently. You know, as Dr. Paul said, every bailout, every rescue, every stimulus package is perceived by most, unfortunately, as them helping. No, it's not helping. It's guaranteeing a bigger crisis in the future. And that's really hard for people to wrap their heads around. I want to give you an analogy on how this works. Imagine alcohol. You know, when you drink alcohol, it gives you an artificial high. But you come down from that high, and you do it in moderation. But what if you decided never to come down from that high? You decided never to come back to reality. And every time reality came back, you have to keep giving yourself higher doses. Each time that the hangover comes, bigger and bigger doses each time. This is what it's like. We're seeing bigger and bigger doses, $5 trillion balance sheet. They'll have a $10 trillion balance sheet. And if you do it with alcohol, you end up dying if you never come back to reality. With this, you know, people aren't dying, but the dollar dies, the economy dies. And we want to avoid that, because what comes after that is unimaginable. So we can't think of bailouts, rescue packages as helpful. They're hurting and giving us a bigger crisis in the future.
You know, the president obviously doesn't follow what we believe in, but there are many times when I believe his instincts are that way. You know, at the beginning of the coronavirus epidemic or whatever we were going to call it, he was talking more cautiously, you know, and taking it easy, and he got a lot of grief on that. Now he's suggesting that people can start going back to work soon, and hopefully next month they will. And if you look at what they're doing in China, where they were way ahead on this cycle, this is the way epidemics work, that they don't have an increase in numbers right now. And they can't just always write it off because they're lying about it, because the governments generally lie about everything. But I don't think we're immune from that either. But now the president is suggesting that we do this. But he also has suggested along that line, he has mentioned the thing about influenza being more deadly than coronavirus. And boy, the media hates it. And I tell you what, the left really hates right now. And even though the policies, I don't endorse all the policies of Trump, I really love the idea that it drives the radical left up a wall, because his numbers are going up because he's taken a stand that seems to be, you know, similar to what we're talking about. But he brought a subject up this week that I think is important, because it's ignored at times of war. And that has to do with what happens to our military personnel and the people who come home and the people who suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. There's a lot of depression and breaking up of families and suicides. And Trump is suggesting that this is going to happen, because I think there's statistics to prove that point. How do you want to be, it's nice to be in your house for 3 days and not have to worry about your paycheck. But what if it just is making your worries grow and you're locked down and then they tell you you can't even jog anymore? Believe me, I think Trump is on to something, and I'm glad he at least brings it up, because there's a lot more ramifications and complications from all this intervention, the intervention in our personal lives, the intervention in the economy, the intervention overseas. We ought to just change our attitude about what the role of government ought to be. The role of government isn't to make us safe and secure and protect us from cold viruses. No, the government should be protecting our liberties to take care of ourselves and be responsible. And quite frankly, it's imperfect. But I tell you what, when you get a bunch of bureaucrats and the ones you get out of CDC, I think that is a real stretch to have confidence in what you hear from them, because bureaucrats have one goal: to expand their power and influence and feel good about how important they are. So this is a system that's going to continue, and I think that hopefully more people will wake up. And you do, what are you doing, Ron? Is suggesting that everybody should defy the law and go to church next week? Well, I'm not telling people what to do, but I also know very much that people are very sympathetic of that. And that's why I think by April 15th, good day, you know, let's have a holiday and say, let's return some of our liberties. And while you're doing that, Mr. President, get rid of the TSA for us.
Absolutely, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by saying, you know, it's appearing that every decade, everything falls apart in the economy. This is not normal. This is not how it should be. And can you imagine, we do not have free markets or sound money in America, but could you imagine if we did, and every decade, everything falls apart? Can you imagine what the media would be like? They would be screaming for central planners to take control of this chaos, this freedom, this devastation that freedom is giving us. But that's not the case. What we have is the central planners that are creating this chaos, and what we have is people that are calling for more of it. It's exactly backwards. They're the ones that are creating this situation where every decade you have to wonder if your bank is going to close, if this is going to happen, if you're going to be able to. This is not the way it should be with sound money and free markets. So our plea to you is what it always is. If you know people that are reasonable, we all know unreasonable people that will not change, but we all know at least one reasonable person. Please share our videos with them. Don't let it go from Ron Paul to you and it stops there. Let's spread Ron Paul's message, the message of liberty, which is, he even says, is even greater than him. And let's get it to the people that need to hear it.
Very good, Chris. And I just want to close by stating what a big item is in this whole mess. I think over especially the last 100 years, we have become a nation that has been conditioned to become dependent on the government. The government is to provide stuff that we want, and it's always, you know, can get it for free, and that's more of it. That's the answer right now. We're going to do all this, and it's all going to be free, which is a total fallacy. But I think this attitude comes from the fact that the majority of the people and the leaders, especially in our communities and our university, they have no love of liberty. There's a lost love. That doesn't mean that we don't know about the many who still love liberty and understand it, but it is the fact that too many people, the herd just goes along because that's what you're doing, and you have to be, support. I saw that so often in foreign policy. The herd mentality was that you were totally un-American if you resisted the war in Iraq. And guess what? 80% of the people said it was a dumb war. Trump won an election because he said it was a stupid war. So it does change, but it's this dependency on government. It's the understanding that government will take care of us, and it's the loss of love for liberty. But in one thing in addition, not too many people ask the very significant question, well, where do our liberties come from? And a lot of congressmen, I met, they come from a benevolent government. That is an atrocious thought, that government somehow can provide liberty. The most the government should ever have is designed to give us an honest government and also to protect our liberties. They shouldn't be monopolizing the monetary system and becoming the counterfeiter of the world. But they should be guaranteeing, a sound monetary system and letting the people operate in a free society. So we have to realize, where do those rights come from? Not the government, but they come to us in a natural way or a God-given way. If we don't understand that, our battle is going to be much tougher. But there's still a lot of people out there, I think, that agrees with us on that. So let's keep plugging away. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Liberty Report, and please come back soon.